This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Something about the lure and look of Durham has drawn screenwriters and filmmakers to the Bull City for years. Hollywood has found both dramatic and visual inspiration here since the town's first cinematic portrayal in the 1950 Gary Cooper Patricia Neal film Brightleaf. Since then, Durham's unique architecture has served as a setting for one of the best sports films ever made, Bull Durham. The film version of Margaret Atwood's futuristic drama, The Handmaid's Tale, and as a setting for Kiss the Girls, a Morgan Freeman Ashley Judd serial killer flick. The latest in this line of Made in the Bull City films is Main Street. A couple of years ago, during the filming, some locals were lucky enough to catch glimpses of film stars Colin Firth and Orlando Bloom around town. The movie uses both Durham's scenery and its name, but I have to say, the Durham that you're going to see on screen is pure fiction. Here's how one of the main characters, played by actress Ellen Burstyn, describes the city.
An old Durham itself is half demolished. Where did the houses go? Where did the city go?
Well, it's right here. Apparently not the Durham that most of us know today, but Main Street gets its local premiere at the Carolina Theater tomorrow. And here to talk with me about Main Street and what this latest cinematic portrayal says about the Bull City are Yvette Bickoff, she had a hand in producing the movie, and Wren Bowman, former president of the Durham Convention and Visitors Bureau. Yvette and Wren, welcome to the program. Good day to you.
Thank you.
Yvette, tell us a little bit about how this movie came to be and how it came to Durham.
Originally, I had gone into business with a gentleman, and I said to him I wanted to bring the film business back to North Carolina in force, as it were. And he thought it was a great idea. We teamed up with another gentleman, and we sat down and tried to decide who should write it, who should, you know, so that the main people would get on board. So my son and I worked for like 72 hours one night straight through for 3 days. And we decided that we'd use Horton Foote because of the way he writes these wonderful, not only period pieces, but, you know, they're so close to the heart and they're so warm, as he did with Trip to Bountiful and Tender Mercies and, of course, Atticus Finch.
Sure.
And, you know,
sure.
I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird, obviously. So we were going to use his cousin, Pete Masterson, to direct, who's Mary Stuart Masterson's dad. But what happened was that the funding began. We tried to raise funding, all kinds of things, as always happens with movies in this universe. You know, go back and forth, and the funding falls through, and then it comes back, and then it falls through.
Well, you said something interesting, though, because you're originally not from Durham. You're not from North Carolina.
No, I'm not. I'm originally from Great Neck, Long Island, and I lived in Manhattan, and I opened up my theatrical agency there, and then I moved to we left it there, and then we opened a Yvette Bickoff agency in California, and I had a theatrical agency for almost 25 years.
So you said you wanted to bring the film industry either back to North Carolina or to North Carolina. Why? What was it about North Carolina?
What it was that when I moved here, my son had moved here, and I came back after representing, you know, huge stars like Matthew Broderick and Forrest Whitaker and David Morse and Angelica Houston won her Academy Award with me. And I went back to New York for a while, and my son came down here. It was really interesting. And so not without me, I said, my mother built a house here, my sister moved here. And so I decided once I came here that I absolutely loved it here. I love it here. I think it's beautiful. I think the people are wonderful. I think it has a lot of culture, really a lot. And it's certainly, I mean, it's grown. I've been here almost 12 years, tremendously since I've been here. So, but once I was here, I decided that the landscape, as it were, had so many different factors to it, i.e., you know, Wilmington and the Outer Banks, God bless them, you know, and Atlantic City, I mean, all the different places with all the sand and all that. And then we had Screen Gems, and Frank Capra was a very dear friend of mine. And so, you know, I felt at home in this area And also, there are so many different places to go to, like Asheville. I mean, you have a wealth of places that, from the mountains to the sea to the this, to, that you could do movies in.
And as you said, I think the architecture and the culture all play a role. They play a role, certainly. The city of Durham in Main Street is the character, as is its history. Here's Ellen Burstyn's character again, talking about the history of Durham.
My father was his own auctioneer, and he was known as a superb one. His idol was James Buchanan, Duke. His ambition was to be as rich as Mr. Duke. When I was born, he wanted me named after Mr. Duke's daughter, Doris, but my mother said no.
So we have a film here where the city is a character, Wren. Now, that I've seen some complaints. People who have previewed this film have said, yeah, it's a character, but we don't like the particular character that's portrayed in this film. You have been with the Visitors Bureau, seen the film. The fact that the city is in this film at all, and I think, I have to say, I'll give you my opinion. I don't have the sense that Durham was so much hurt by this. I mean, there are a couple of lines in there that suggest it, but the cinematography is beautiful. It looks like a pretty city.
Yes. Durham has a great sense of place, and that's why we've been popular with location scouts. We're not always Durham. Sometimes we're Boston and other places, but... Yes, I think people, there's a high level of attachment and passion and pride in Durham, always has been, about twice the level of other cities. So when you have that, people are
particular. What does that mean when you say twice the level of passion? First of all, how do you measure that, and what do you mean when you say it?
Well, we use scientific surveys, and they're generalizable, and they ask things like that measure pride. They measure passion, how strong your attachment is. Is it the perfect place for you? So those are things that are asked, and they're benchmarked sometimes by Gallup and sometimes by other.
So Durhamites have this stronger sense, generally speaking, when good old science finds out what we think of it. And yet, for a long time, the rest of the country may not have felt so strongly about how great this place was.
Well, we had we weren't known by half the country. The half that knew us had a positive image. Where we had a negative image was focused pretty much into Wake County and Orange County, neighboring communities. Mm-hmm. So that's where we had to deal with the issue of before that image did contaminate things nationally.
Yvette, how much of the received perception of the city were you working with in the film, and how much were you trying to sort of convert thinking about the city?
Well, here's what I have to say about it. First of all, this was a totally fiction piece. Horton Foote wrote this as a love story to the town, and it was a Horton Foote love story, and by extension, that covers the whole South and the spirit of the South in the 21st century. He was not going to hurt this town in any way whatsoever in his mind's eye. He was trying to describe a city, unfortunately, I mean, it was named Durham, but any city that had the problems that have happened when there was a big, wonderful situation going, as was happening in tobacco, you know, many, many years ago. And what he did was, when he came here, what happened was that, it was interesting, we had a different premise for this film. He came here to see the town.
And what year was it? Just to give us a sense.
He came here, let's say, we shot 2 years ago. We came here 4 years ago, approximately 4 years ago. And when he came, he absolutely loved it here. We did such fabulous things with him. I mean, he wanted to go everywhere and see everything, but he, through his manufacturing of what he thought would be the right thing for what he wanted to show to the public, was putting together a town in the South that had fallen and had a lot of problems because of the lack of and feeling less than. And that what he did was he went forward with fixing things, having everything get better. The policeman... the policeman is the South, okay? He shows what, you know, he covers the whole South. Who is the whole South? He was the whole South. And as it was years ago, this was not completely, it was a mix of the present and the past. And so what happened was that Horton went everywhere and he saw a lot of degradation. I mean, he saw a lot of things that didn't look great to him as downtown was. It's even, look at how it's progressed in the last 4 years. And so what happened was that he started to think, well, look at these warehouses and look at the houses that, you know, looked like, that did, looked like downtrodden abodes, you know, and then he tried to do with the Ellen Burstyn character, he tried to create a person that had lost everything because she had lost all of her money and make it all be despondent and go away in the desperation that she felt for trying to keep everything so that she went to a place where she was renting it out to these people that were bringing in, you know, toxic waste. So when Horton was here, it was funny. I mean, we would be walking in the street and I would be tripping and he'd say, it's like the blind leading the blind. And then, and then he'd call me at the house in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning every night and say, are you up, Missy? And I'd say, no, Horton, I'm not up.
Well, where did he want to go at 3
in
the morning?
He wanted me to get up and go to the computer and tell me how many people came from here and there and everywhere to the south and to this town and to this. And he wanted me to look up everything. And he did this every night for 2 months. I was completely sleep deprived. But he was the most amazing, brilliant, kind, interesting, one of the most amazing men that I've ever known. And so the honor I feel to this film should be that he wrote this piece. Yeah. It was his last. He was 89 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what can one expect?
Well, and at the end of a great career, but at the very end of that career, and if the film struggles for anything, it perhaps is trying to pack too much into those characters. They perhaps flattened out a bit. It ends up, in my opinion, becoming a bit of a melodrama, sadly. But the portrayal is what it is. And there are these moments in the film that I think that some people, some of the critics at least, those who worry about Durham's reputation, listen to and think, well, is that the thing? Is that how Durham is going to be remembered in this film?
Now, you look at Durham's downtown, it's dying, literally. Now, I told my company that I believe there's an opportunity here in a place that needs help, and I think they're very interested.
There we go. Colin Firth's character. He is a toxic waste salesman, essentially, and he's come to town to convince Durham that its future depends on storing toxic waste in this town. He has quite a revelation at the end of the film. It all happens pretty fast. But what about that, Ren? You know, you're somebody who's spent a lifetime devoted to sort of straightening out people's idea of this city. Does a line like that, a line or two like that, affect people? Given the fact that there is a received image of this city?
Well, I think it affected us because we spent 30 years getting it to where it is, only maybe have people told that that it's not quite there yet. But image is not defined by cultural things like movies. It's barely defined by news. It's more defined by gossip and grapevine and envy and those kinds of things. But it's natural that people would respond that, no, it's not that way now, it's this way now. That's just indicative of people who care a lot about their community. We had the same trouble with Kiss the Girls because there were people worried that people would think Durham had a misogynist streak, I think. But fiction and drama and movies are separate from reality. Otherwise, Law and Order would have tanked New York years ago.
Well, and luckily, in The Handmaid's Tale, it's not Durham. It's just the apocalypse, which, you know, there were some apocalyptic sites here when that film was done. In fact, there's a great story about The Handmaid's Tale, right? And Duke Chapel, it's Gothic Chapel, right?
Well, the story is that they built the gallows and were filming on Saturday night and got delayed and didn't get them all taken down, and people showed up for church the next morning with a bit of Hollywood standing in front. But it looked very real and very dramatic.
And there were concerns going in about Bull Durham and what impact that would have on the city.
Oh, yes. People were worried, would we look like Hicksville? Would it be Deliverance all over again? But what changed it wasn't necessarily that the film was so popular. That helped. It's that they captured the unpretentious nature of Durham. If they had tried to make us something we weren't, that would have backfired. And Durham isn't just worried about its bricks and mortar. It's also the values that are important to people who live here.
One of the tropes that's in this film, one of the antagonisms that I think Foote picked up on, and I'd like to hear you talk about, is this difference between Durham and Raleigh. In the film, Raleigh's the big city. We have the young woman who wants to escape the suffocation of Durham, and she finds hope in Raleigh, or so we think. What about that? I mean, is that tension? Is there a real tension in these communities? I mean, how real is that sense?
I think in any polycentric area where there is no center, Durham's never really tried to be the center. Raleigh would like to be the center, has little Charlotte envy going. So that creates the tension. But the two communities are night and day culturally, personality-wise. Right. And so they had a New York Times friend who told me when I first came here, he said, well, one of these places just will be Tulsa and the other Kuala Lumpur. And I said, do I get Kuala Lumpur? because if you're in place marketing, having a place with a distinctive personality – you can overcome image. You can't overcome personality.
Yeah. Well, and that is the thing, Yvette, that I hear from you, is that it has both a kind of a character in its people, but also a visual quality that strikes any filmmaker as a good place to make a film.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the whole quality of this area is so extraordinary and so special to me, and I'm not a native, that I understand why people do want to come here and make movies. And I mean, I'm going to be bringing two movies to the area soon. We're in the development stage, but they will be. In fact, there are three of books that I've optioned that are just wonderful that have nothing to do with the area.
Can you give us a preview?
Well, one of them is called Twin Planet, which is you know, I see sequels and prequels. I mean, it's about a non-identical planet to Earth, and it's, I don't want to give away more than that because the script's being written, but it's unbelievable. It's just amazing. And the other one is called Pillow and a Heartbeat, and it's about a little dog called Truffles, and about a little poodle, a three-pound poodle. And the whole book is spoken through the little tiny poodle and with its owner, and it's a therapy pet. And so everybody loves the story.
A sci-fi thriller with another planet and a dog named Truffles all in Durham.
Yes.
How much more could you do in one city?
Isn't that great? Yeah, we're going to be, they have the sand here. There's a lot of sand in Twin Planets and a Twin Planet. And of course, in Pillow with a Heartbeat, I mean, you know, we don't need a special area, but why not? I love it here. I'm not moving back to California anytime soon. I mean, you know, I'm really not. And if I were ever to, you know, spend time there, because I've spent a lot of time there, I'd go back and forth because this is my home. My whole family's here. I live here. I'm not moving from here.
Well, we're happy to have you here for a variety of reasons, including the fact that you help encourage bring these films here. Give us a sense of the economic impact of these films, just beyond what they do for image, Ren, just showing up and filming here.
Yeah, the reason visitor bureaus work closely with film is not only because we're used to keeping databases of the visual components of a community and services, but it's the visitor spending. So while they're here, this group, for example, spent $4.2 million that was added to the Durham economy. That's net. So it makes a huge impact.
Great. And two, maybe three more films down the line.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Great to have both of you with us today. Ren Bowman, the former director of the Durham Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Yvette Bickoff. Her production company, Blue Sky Pictures, had a hand in making Main Street. The film Main Street, which was shot in Durham, has a regional premiere tomorrow at the Carolina Theater. Next up, the music and a book by Alina Simone. Stay tuned.